What a blessing it is to be here with you today. I don't know why anyone in this church family would mistake me for Jim Barnett. But other than that, it is wonderful to be here with you today. So good to look out and see so many friendly and familiar faces. Many of those faces familiar, having grown up here in Dallas, fifth generation Dallas guy, and having spent the last 34 years being a missionary to that heathen Sooner Nation up in Tulsa. It is always good for a native Texan to be back on the righteous and holy side of the Red River. And so thank you for having me today. My apologies to all of those that I just offended from Oklahoma. But nevertheless, my hat is off, and just greatly appreciate the wisdom, the prayerful thought, and the Spirit's leading that has led this church family, Josh, the leaders, the elders of this church, to land on this current sermon series, Steady Words. The events that transpired yesterday in Pennsylvania, the events that transpire every day in the Ukraine and in Gaza, the events that happen across our state and city and our own neighborhoods every day, we are a people in need of steady words. We are a people in need of foundational, encouraging words. And today we come to that. Stress, trials, and difficulties, they're going to come for us all. You can't avoid it. There'll be a day that one of those three, stress, trials, or difficulties, will knock on your door. The question is by the Word of God and the Spirit of God, will the strength of God answer that door when stress comes knocking? That's God's desire. The brother of Jesus, the physical, literal brother of Jesus here on earth, James, in his epistle wrote that stress will come your way and it wants to destroy you. But if you persevere in faith in Christ, that which was sent to destroy you, count it pure joy because it's actually going to develop you. It's going to mature you. So if you have your Bibles today, please be turning to Psalm 84. As we talk about a people who are under stress, they're in a difficult season. This coming year, our nation, our families, our communities, we as individuals may find ourselves in a difficult season. Psalm 84 speaks about how we can go in that time from not only a strength, but from a strength to a greater strength. Now, this psalm did not flow from David's hand, but it most assuredly touched his heart. It's a caravan song. It's traveling music, if you will. But it has less to do with crossing over a piece of land and more to do with crossing over a tough season of life. What I'd like to do with this psalm is read to you Psalm 84 again, verses 1 through 4. And then kind of go to verse 10 and leave that middle part that we're going to camp out on for just a moment. So, Psalm 84 and verse 1. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Oh, I found even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young. A place near your altar, Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. And then verse 10. Well, I think we've got a song after this one now. Better is a one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Well, you read that and you go, well, how'd you start this lesson off? Stress, difficulties, trial. I mean, this individual is just couldn't be better. It's a cakewalk following God. But right in the middle, the meat of that sandwich we just read. Let's now camp out in verses 5, 6, and 7. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Now again, you're like, this sounds like pretty good stuff. What would be that modern-day alliteration translation of the Valley of Baca? Surely a caravan song, traveling music, that's nothing more than Valley of Baca. Any good Texan would say Baca. Well, that's got to be Bucky's as you're traveling, you know. Blessed are you as you move along and you've seen the signs. And now how could it get any better? Well, it's a little less ideal than that. It's a little bit about a rough patch. That word in Hebrew, Baca, stands for, well, those little saline discharges. It says, though we pass through a place called the Valley of Tears. And again, not so much about a piece of land, but a season of life. First point this morning is this. Choosing the Lord is not insurance from stress. Choosing God Almighty is the compass of your life, is not an insurance plan from difficulties or trials. It is not exemption from tough times, from loss, from failure, from financial troubles, from suffering, to suffering consequences even. My wife has a statement, and I found it completely accurate. She says in her beaming way, everybody brings joy to the room. Some just do it when they walk in, and others do it when they walk out. You can identify. You've got some people in your lives where it's not just a difficulty that's come your way, but a difficult person has come your way. And though they are the people that when they walk out of the room, they bring joy, they haven't walked out of your life yet. And every day, you know that following God has not been insurance from difficult seasons. But nevertheless, in this passage, it says that these people in the Valley of Tears, in a difficult season of life, they move from strength to weakness. What else could you expect? No, they move from strength to strength. Point number two, choosing the Lord is assurance in stress. You have stress, but stress doesn't have its way with you. You don't get the break, but you can still have the breakthrough. Trials come your way, but they don't have their way with you, nor your family, nor your friends, for you have built your life. Oh, the storms come. They come for the foolish man and the wise man. That promise is most assured. But the other promise is those who build their lives and do the steady words found here within, their house will still stand. They move from strength to strength. This morning, if I could, take a few moments of your time to go over five ways that this passage just said that you can move from strength to strength. Now, this may not be a lesson for you. You may right now be on the top of the mountain. But I have to believe in this room there is somebody where this message may not be for you, but it's a message this week that needs to come through you. You have somebody tomorrow at the office that will say, can you believe what happened this past weekend? Can you believe where we're headed? Can you believe where we are? And you're going to have within you a word from God that the Holy Spirit has called you to hear today and experience today, where you don't shrug your shoulders, but you're able to share steady, affirming, godly, encouraging words. The five ways to move from strength to strength. Number one, don't deny your tears. Don't deny your tears. We just read that. The psalmist here does not say, well, we're moving through don't call it a tough time. Oh, that'd be such a downer. That'd be so pessimistic. Let's just deny it and stuff it down deep. No, he calls it what it is. He says, we're moving through the valley of tears. This is a rough spot. This wasn't where we wanted to be. In fact, it's not where we want to stay. But we're going to call it what it is. Number one, don't deny your tears. Now, a psalm that did come from David, Psalm 6, he says this, I am worn out with pain, and every night my pillow is soaked. How many nights? A couple of tears? Every night my pillow is soaked with tears. David doesn't deny his tears. You know, this coming November, this election process, there might be someone who says, well, I guess that's why they're on edge. I guess that's why they're this way or that way. Let's go in the future, though. Let's go back a month to the month of October. Would you bring up that next slide, if you will? This is what some people in October might be dealing with. When you see people that go around with ribbons on their chest, things they're trying to promote, trying to draw attention to. If you see a blue ribbon, you see someone that's saying, well, we have a problem. We have a National Bullying Prevention Month. 1 in 5 children will be bullied this year. Or a purple ribbon, that's Domestic Violence Awareness Month. 1 in 3 will experience some form of domestic violence in their lives, whether physical or psychological. And then there's a pink and blue ribbon. Well, that's Pregnancy and Infant Loss Awareness Month. That would be 1 in 4 women at one time will experience a loss of a pregnancy. And then there's pink, which many of us know well and have gone through family times where, well, Breast Cancer Awareness Month, where 1 in 8 women in the U.S. at one time in their lives will develop breast cancer. You say, Mitch, this is a year. This is the month of October that's drawing attention to these things. What we need to be aware of is we live in a time in a broken world where it is a proper thing to do to be about the business of acknowledging your tears. Now, having said that as a first step, you notice what it says, they don't stay there. Though they be in the valley of tears of Baca, they pass through. So number two, decide in your lives to journey to Him. Not just with Him, but journey to Him. What did the Scripture say? Blessed are those whose hearts are set on just staying right here where it's bad all the time. That's what I do. No. Blessed are those whose hearts who are set upon pilgrimage toward the Lord their God until they appear before Him. Our grandparents sang a song. Our parents sang a song. In fact, sometimes we still sing a song. How's it go? This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. This is not home. And we have decided to journey to our Lord. Joseph, when he was the most powerful man, effectively Pharaoh to Pharaoh is what he would say, in all of Egypt, the most powerful empire at that time, or maybe to this day the world has ever known. That man that was Musk, Gates, and Buffett, and wealth and power rolled up into one. Oh, he had it all. I guess there's no reason to journey anywhere. Name my child Ephraim, which means I have been blessed. But this is the land of my affliction. This is not my home. I am headed someplace else. What redefines our faith journey is when we stop praying. Boy, I prayed this my whole life. Lord, be with me. Lord, be with me. Lord, be with me. Somebody's right now going, Mitch, is that a bad prayer? It's not a bad prayer, but there's a better prayer. Instead of Lord, be with me, Lord, let me be with you. Let me stay in step with your Spirit. Father, you don't come into the middle of where I am. Let me be into the middle of where you are. Let my heart be set on pilgrimage today. Step number three, they look for springs. Their people, though they are in the valley of tears, like Ezekiel, where he says, the valley of dry bones, this is a place where we don't want to remain. God says, but I'm going to do something here. There's going to be new life here. They look for springs. They look for opportunities to turn things around. I kind of joke about this now. I'm thankful the Lord allows time and His Spirit to move you past a valley of tears moment in your own life. About 3 years ago at our church in Tulsa, I owned a record I never wanted to own. I had the longest stay in the hospital for COVID. And so for 48 days, I was in a COVID ICU. Intubated twice, flatlined once, DIC, septic shock, done. And by the grace of God, I am here today. And I had that record, kind of proud of it. Nobody had been in there longer than me. Well, if you got to have some kind of record, be proud of it. And then I got outdone. My friend John Rampy, not 48 days, 539. Stroke after stroke, complicated his recovery. On his 301st day away from home, in and out of rehab, back to ICU, back to the hospital, back to rehab, back to the hospital, I sent a minister to his hospital bed and I said, John at that time could speak, he was not intubated, and said, John, we want to record a prayer and play that at our church on a Sunday morning where our church gets to hear you after almost a year being away, battling this disease after multiple strokes, after being put on dialysis, and more things than I could list right now. We want you to lead the prayer at our church. And we gave him no other instructions than that. I got back the prayer. I looked at the text. We're going to play it for sure. The prayer was 125 words that comprised 14 sentences. Those 14 sentences and 125 words contained the phrase, "Thank you," 28 times. One request, and not for his healing, "God, take care of my wife while I'm away." Brothers and sisters, that is a guy who is in the valley of tears and he is looking for springs. He is somebody who is in the depths of where you never want to be and could complain about anything. 28 times said thank you out of 125 words. That's Paul. "I've got these chains. I just want you to know that all they're doing is advancing the gospel." That's somebody looking for springs. Number four step you can take in moving from strength to strength, make springs is what it said. Those springs weren't just bubbling out of the ground. They had to do a little bit of digging. It says they make it a place of springs. They get to work. We've got some acronyms at our church. I think we have to have a 101 class to let people know, well, what's the SAM ministry? It's a senior adult ministry. My favorite, what's the Romeo group? Romeo group, our ladies' Bible class meets on Wednesday mornings, and the older gentlemen who like to drive their wives to ladies' Bible class, they are the Romeo group, the retired old men eating out, okay? That's our Romeo group. But my favorite acronym is our CARS ministry, our Christian Auto Repair Service. And once a month, some good old boys get together and they change batteries and belts and they do some diagnostic work and rotate tires and take care of widows and single moms and anyone else that needs help completely for free. They can't fix it. They send it to the shop and our benevolence ministry jumps in. The other day from one of the widows at our church, she sends me this text. "Blessings to share. The CARS ministry! Exclamation points take up the rest of the line. Got my oil changed, and who walked in but April Metters and her daughter and sons." April Metters is a single mom at our church with three kiddos. Widow says to single mother. I asked her what she was getting done there, and she replied in all caps. Now Martha writes, "She's not getting anything done there. She was there to help the CARS ministry." When I caught April later, I said, "April, I didn't know you could turn a wrench." She said, "I can't. My job is to be there, and when those widows and single mamas get out and they feel a little bit down about being helped, my job is to make them feel like $1 million." I said, "Who asked you to do that?" She said, "Nobody asked me to do that except the Lord." That's someone who is not just looking for springs, but is making springs. Amen, church? And that's what we're called to be about. My son, when he turned 15, he heard that Chick-fil-A down the street from us was hiring. I said, "Son, I don't think they hire until they're 16, but you can go look." Well, sure enough, at 16, they wouldn't let him work in the kitchen, but at 15, they'd hire him to put him in a cow suit and stand him out on the street and wave at cars. I said, "That's my boy." And I never got that, you know. It's like, okay, we won't let you work in the kitchen, but we will put you in a suit and stand you in 115-degree heat and die that way, all right? So he's out there waving at the cars, and he comes home, and I said, "Well, how'd it go?" My first job, it was in East Dallas at a Burger King, and you teach you how to do fries, you know, they teach you how to do this or that or clean up, clean the restrooms. He said, no. He said, "They sat us down and we watched this video." "Oh, okay. What did you do second day?" "Sat us down and we watched this video." "Well, what did you do the third day?" "Well, we watched this video." I said, "Well, I got to see this video. I want to show you this 2-minute and 40-second, you never had this happen at church before, a Chick-fil-A training video." He said, "Oh, I wasn't listening a minute ago, preach, but now you got my attention." This is a company that is looking to teach their people to make springs in situations that may involve people's tears. Let's watch this video together. I was talking to my friend David Chin. He owns a Chick-fil-A in Tulsa. He said, "Did you notice the intentionality of that?" I said, "Well, I think I did, but why don't you help me out?" He said, the couple struggling with infertility, where were they sitting? Next to the play place. And the woman had just been looking into that window. He said, "Did you notice the end?" I said, "Yeah, I noticed the end." The girl that was struggling with a relationship with a father was being hugged by the image of your company. He goes, "That's not coincidental. We as image bearers," and he wasn't talking about image bearers of Chick-fil-A anymore, "but we as image bearers of Jesus Christ are called to come along with those who struggle with a relationship with the Father and get down on our knees and wrap our arms around them." And I said, "Am I talking to someone who works at a church here or Chick-fil-A?" And he goes, "Exactly. Church, we are called to be people who make springs, and if we don't have eyes to look for them and know that people are hurting, we'll never be about the business of making those springs." Number five, and here's the gospel. Prepare for blessings. Now, Mitch, you just made that part up. No. What did the Scripture say? As they pass through the valley of Baca, they look, they make springs, and after they make springs and step out in faith, God goes, "And now the autumn rains come, and they cover the whole place with pools." I figure if in Genesis, in the story of Noah, if God would burst forth the springs of the great deep and drop the heavens and the waters contained there within for a curse, He would do all that much more for a blessing. How is God ready to double down on your efforts of making springs and bring you and those that you bless in tough seasons from strength to strength? Three questions for you as you leave today. Three questions. Number one, What are my tears? What are my tears? Don't deny them. It is in that first step that God begins to use your tears for your testimony. Number two, are you looking for springs? And number three, what Jesus promised, come to me and I will make rivers of living springs, water flow out of you. Are you a spring today? Let's stand and sing at this time.